Omagana Timurandasya Kananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Kurum Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagradatam Sahagara Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakhan Svitam Sha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanshina Gorangi Radhe Brinda Vaneshwari Prishubhanu Siddha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Truvyasra Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaiti Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, Perfection of Renunciation, Text Number 62. Tam eva sharanam gacha sarabhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim stanam prapsasi shasvatam Tameva sharanam gacha sarabhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim stanam prapsasi shasvatam. Sarnam gacha sarabhavena bharata Tat prasada param shantim Stanam prapsasi shasvatam Tameva sharanam gacha Sarabhavena bharata Tat prasada param shantim Stanam prapsasi shasvatam Eva sharanam gacha sarabhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim stanam prapsasi shasvatam. Ladies, Eva sharanam gacha sarabhavena bharata Tat prasada param shanti Prabhasi shasvatam Tam unto him Eva certainly Sharanam gacha surrender Sarabhavena in all respects Bharata, O son of Bharat, Tat Prasadat, by his grace, Param, transcendental, Shantim, peace, Stanam, the abode, Prapsasi, you will get Shasvatam, eternal. O Sain of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Purport. A living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only one will be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature, Rig Veda 1:22-20, as Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Since all of creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. But Param Padam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky or Vaikuntha. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Savasuchaham Riddhi Sannivishta. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart. So this recommendation is that one should surrender unto the Super Soul sitting within, which means that one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna has already been accepted by Arjuna as the Supreme. He was accepted in the 10th chapter as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the supreme abode of all living entities, not only because of his personal experience, but also because of the evidence of great authorities like Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas. Tam eva sharanam gacha sarabhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim stanam prapsi shasadam. O Sain Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will obtain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Mom Vishnu Braya Krishna Pristai Buddhae Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vacharne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyade Siddharna. Krishna is advising that we should surrender to him. So, surrender, which is the word sharanam, to take shelter of, means that we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do. It's hard to surrender to someone if you don't know him, and it's hard to surrender to someone if you have no idea what they want you to do. If someone says in a very low voice, go get a glass of water, and you can't hear them, and then they start complaining, well, why don't you listen to me? I can't hear you. I don't know what you said. Well, why aren't you doing what I just asked you to do? Because I didn't hear you. So if we don't hear Krishna, then it's impossible to surrender to him, because we have no idea what he wants us to do. Therefore, in the previous verse, Krishna said that Machita Chaitasa Sarvakarmani Maya Sanyasya Matparaha Buddhyogam Upashitya Matschitak Satatam Bhava. That in all activities, just depend upon me. So that's surrender. Work always under my protection. We have to work under Krishna's protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So we have to be fully conscious of Krishna, not just a little conscious of Krishna, but fully conscious of him. And so, as I mentioned yesterday, the beginning is we have to accept that everything belongs to Krishna. Because if we try and steal from Krishna, it's very hard to say we're surrendered to him. If you're working for someone, but at the same time you're stealing all his assets, then you're not a very surrendered servant to that person. Similarly, we've come to the material world to assume the role of being God, and therefore in that mentality we're imagining ourselves to be the proprietors of Krishna's energy. So we have the mentality, at least, of a thief, not that of a surrendered servant. So one has to at least accept that everything is God's property and therefore meant for God's service. So that means developing, that's the beginning of a service attitude. If we don't accept that there's a God, and if we don't accept that God is the owner of everything, then it's very hard to develop a very strong service attitude towards Him. Maybe we think, all right, God is in the temple, and we have to offer Him a glass of water sometimes to keep Him happy. He'll give us some benediction. It's not a very strong service attitude. Yes, every day we give you one clean glass of water, don't complain. And we expect quite a bit in return for that. No, a service attitude means, Krishna says, satatam, always, 24 hours a day, the service attitude. So unless we agree that everything is Krishna's property, how can we be always serving Krishna? So that's the first qualification to surrender, is to accept that everything is Krishna's. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivrita kama dvandvai vimukha sukaduka sangar gachant nyamuda padam avyam tat. So we don't want to become bewildered, Krishna says, nirmana, nothing is mine, nor is it yours. It may not be mine, but it's also not yours. Moha. And once we give up that illusion that everything belongs to me, or something belongs to me, or I even belong to myself, then nirmana moha, then our illusion gradually gets dispelled. And jita sangha, we can give up this faulty association due to our material identification, that I am this body, and therefore Belgium, as they sing in America, this land is my land, this land is your land. So I never really learned the song, to tell you the truth. But something about this, my land. America belongs to the Americans. It used to belong to the Indians before we killed them all. Don't laugh, the Dutch had a lot to do with it too. New York was, I guess, it used to be New Amsterdam. Yeah, so-called the Indians, we kill them off, and then maybe the red Chinese will come and kill us off in America. But it doesn't belong to the Chinese or the Americans or the insects. It belongs to God. So unless people recognize that, there can't be any peace in the world. As I mentioned before, if a group of dogs get together and discuss how to live peacefully in their neighborhood, they'll just bark at each other. So similarly, if people have the same dogish mentality, they go to the United Nations, what will they do? They'll simply bark at each other like dogs. Arr, I'm a big American. Arr, I'm a Russian. Arr. I'm a Belgian. I'm a Belgian. Don't bite me, please. So if we have this mentality, they'll just go and fight like dogs or cats, whatever. Because they don't recognize it. But if they recognize there's a God and He's the owner of everything, then there can be peace, because then they won't fight over stolen property. A group of thieves, they go to the bank, they rob the bank, and they go to their hideout, and the head thief stands up and says, my dear fellow thieves, now that we've stolen all this money, please, please, let us divide the money up honestly. So they're all thieves, they stole the money, but now they want to divide the money up honestly. So without accepting God as a provider, then immediately our mentality is that of a thief, trying to utilize God's energy for our sense gratification. Therefore, satatam bhava, kirtanayak sadhari, 24 hours a day, we have to chant Hare Krishna, because as soon as we stop, we're in Maya. Of course, we're used to being in Maya, so we think, well, it's all right. But actually, we're immediately, when we forget Krishna, we think we're Krishna, we're in Maya. Therefore, Krishna says, tam eva sharanam gacha, there is a process, of course, of surrender, which Krishna will introduce, and which will be in the 66th verse, where the process of Sharanagati is explained, namely, Anukulasya Sankalpe. First, we have to at least accept everything favorable to cultivate devotional service, like chanting 16 rounds, taking prasadam, serving the deities, serving the devotees. We have to accept the favorable things, then pratikulyasya varjana. Then gradually we can give up our unfavorable things. We can give up our anarthas. Then the result is one becomes aware that Krishna can actually maintain my Krishna consciousness and protect it. And then the mentality will develop, the service mentality, of having no interest behind besides Krishna's interest. Now we think, well, I have a little bit of Krishna's interest, and I have some of my interests too. But that clear vision that everything, actually my only real interest is Krishna's interest. This body, whatever else, maybe I have to maintain the body for Krishna's interest. But outside of Krishna's interest, then I have no interest in this body. So that's an advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, where one has no interest outside of Krishna's interest. And then one will always be able to see how wonderful Krishna is and genuinely be meek and humble, because seeing how amazing Krishna is. In any case, one has to begin wherever one is at, whether it's whatever level. And then at least the first level is accepting that everything is Krishna's energy. Then to find out what Krishna wants us to do with that energy. There is a process of finding out. It is not that, all right, it's all Krishna's energy, so what? No, we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do with the energy. Not that I know exactly what I want to do for Krishna. It doesn't matter what anyone else wants to do. I know what I want to do. And if Krishna accepts it, so that's good. If he doesn't, too bad. No, we have to find out what Krishna really wants us to do. And Krishna is a person, so he has desires also. But he has bigger desires. He has a desire for everyone. So that's either hearing from Krishna directly, as Arjuna heard from Krishna, but we can't hear so well. We're a little deaf. So therefore we have to hear from the scriptures and from Krishna's representatives. Then, when we understand clearly what Krishna wants us to do, and we do that to please him, thinking that I have no goal in life, save and accept to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna, then the result is, if we actually know what Krishna wants us to do and we do it, then we'll think about Krishna. And that's our perfection, is to always remain in Krishna consciousness. That's a reward. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean we'll become any taller or any fatter. We won't become any richer or famous. We won't become anything, but we'll become Krishna conscious. But the result of Krishna consciousness is that one goes back to the spiritual world after leaving this body. So externally, we may not be in any better material position, but if we become Krishna conscious, then the result is we'll become aware of our real selves and we'll be established in another platform of existence. So Krishna is advising we surrender for that reason. But if we just act whimsically, we don't follow the process, then the result is we won't become Krishna conscious. We may do so many things. We may become expert. We can quote so many slokas. We can become expert at deity worship. We can become so many expert book distributor. But if at the end of the day we don't become any more Krishna conscious than we were from the beginning, then we've just wasted the day. We haven't really surrendered to Krishna, nor taken shelter of the Guru Sadhana and Shastra. So Krishna reveals himself when we actually come in contact with both the Super Soul and the Supreme Soul. And we become aware of Krishna, automatically we become aware of what Krishna wants us to do. Therefore it said, Jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pamanayo. One who has conquered the mind, the Super Soul's very reach, Please attain tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So it may be difficult to execute the duties of Krishna consciousness, but if we try to do it, and we become actually conscious of Krishna, then we become aloof from all these different dualities that are bothering us, or are deviating us from Krishna consciousness. It's only our attachment to our mental desires that everything becomes so difficult. Not because it's difficult, it's actually easier than material existence. It's due to our attachments. But once we understand what our attachments are, and we're willing to give them up and engage in Krishna service, then the result is that it becomes easier. Then we're able to actually hear more clearly and understand more clearly exactly what Krishna wants us to do and say and think and feel. Everything becomes experienced more easily. But if we won't give up our independent nature from Krishna, if we think there's no reason to pray to Krishna for intelligence to make progress, if we don't take shelter of Guru and Sadhu and Shastra, and we think, well, I already know everything, then we know whatever our mind is dictating to us, moment to moment. That's what we'll know. But we won't know Krishna very well. Therefore, amaditvam, one has to realize that if I knew everything, then why am I in the material concept of life? Why am I in this bodily concept of life? If I knew a little bit, I wouldn't be in the bodily concept of life. So therefore, I don't even know a little bit. I don't even know I'm not the body. Therefore, I'm in ignorance. So one is in ignorance, but he thinks he's very intelligent, very advanced, then he's even more in a difficult position. Being in ignorance and being a little humble about it, then there's some possibility of getting out of it. But if I'm complete ignorance and I'm puffed up about it, then where is there any chance of making any progress out of it? Therefore, the first qualification for any knowledge is humility, not based upon folding our hands and walking around, oh, I'm so humble. Look at me, how humble I am. They should give me a reward for being humble. No, that's another type of pretension. No, we should actually be humble because we're in such an unfortunate condition. Therefore, amaditvam, adambitvam. And therefore, if we understand what the real platform of humility is, then we can give up our false pride, which manifests itself in so many different ways. Amaditvam, adambitvam, ahimsa. Then our activities will become positive if we try and give Krishna consciousness to others. We'll be able to help ourselves too. But if I think all devotional service is one of the very many options in my life, when I feel like it, I do it. It's like one of my hobbies. Because, you know, I'm all right right now. got enough to eat, place to sleep, body's not too bad. And there's a good future. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? Well, everything should get better. I should get nicer prasadam and maybe a better place to sleep. Future is bright. So unless we realize the problem that we're in right now, it's very hard to become humble, what to speak of giving up our false pride, and what to speak of being nonviolent to ourselves. As soon as we forget that we're Krishna's eternal servant, whatever activity we're doing is simply binding us in the material energy further. And by our example and perhaps by our instructions, we may be binding others into the material energy too. So we have to hear from Krishna and not become overwhelmed by our so-called wonderful position or all the opulence I have or everything that I have going for me or my bright future in the material world. We have to get free from this and realize I'm in a very pitiable condition and I must rely upon Krishna. I must hear from Krishna through his guru, sadhu, and shastra, and hopefully by surrendering to them, then the super soul within my heart, his instructions, will become clearer moment to moment, and gradually I'll get out of my crazy conception of life And one day when I, as I realized Krishna, then gradually I realized myself too, my real self. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Because he's talking about the super soul. Well, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he's talking about his expansions throughout the Bhagavad Gita, different things. You know, Sarvayona Shikuntiya Morte Yaksam Bhavantiya. I'm the sea-giving father, but that's Mahavishnu who casts his glance. So it's Krishna's expansions. So it's just like you say, well, yesterday, you know, there was a man who was working, and you write your biography. I was working in such and such place as a carpenter. You're telling your friends about you being a carpenter. So you're talking about almost like you're a different person, but it's actually you who's talking, but you in a different role. So Krishna's talking about himself, but himself in a different role. Otherwise, if he just said me, 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 people would think that, you know, there's someone in my heart with a flute. Someone with a heart casts his glance. He has his different costumes and roles, and whatever he refers to. Them. Otherwise, you get confused. Yes. Yeah, of course. Stages to that? Yeah, of course. Well, hopefully by now we're a little bit more aware of what Krishna wants. Just like if you're walking by the McDonald's, you don't think, well, maybe Krishna wants me to go in there and enjoy a Big Mac today. Obviously we know Krishna's, you know, in our heart will say, don't get near that place unless you want to distribute a book there. So obviously we're more aware of Krishna's desires now than we were before. And we know that, at least we know when we're being influenced by lust, anger, and greed. We can experience that and how it disconnects us from Krishna. How Krishna is warning us, but we don't take the warning. So that way we... Krishna says, don't do it. We say, forget it. I'm going to do it anyhow. So we can sense Krishna is there telling us, warning us. And one day we'll just be listening to him and then it'll become quite clear what he wants us to do. Elevator, yeah, this is it. Yeah, you listen to the mind. The mind's false ego. What's that? Yeah, that's right. Well, not by the mind. The mind can only present different instructions. Well, when it presents things that tells you, please chant Hare Krishna, and you agree to do it, it's not exactly, the Prabhupada said, it's the when one is entangled in the material world due to the false ego's desire to lord it over. So the false ego of the mind. So the mind is being used in a sense that the mind, when it's absorbed in when the intelligence is directing the mind coming from Krishna, and the soul surrenders to that, agrees to it, dovetails his desires with Krishna's desires, then one becomes elevated. But when we dovetail our desires with the false ego,
the desires arising out of the mind and senses, neglecting Krishna's desires, then we become degraded. So it's up to the soul how he wants to dovetail his desire. If he has no idea what Krishna wants, he has only material desires to deal with. And when he hears from authorities, and then he finds out what Krishna wants, and he agrees to do that, then he'll become elevated by actually doing it. Yes. Yes. Does it at least know what he wants us to do? Yeah, the super soul is Krishna. Yeah, Krishna is in your heart. Isn't that good? He could have a flute, but generally he walks. He has four arms. Yeah, the super soul. But the super soul is telling us how to become Krishna conscious. He's our guide to help us become Krishna conscious. He's Krishna's representative in this world to guide us towards Krishna. We follow his instructions. Like he says, chant Hare Krishna. And we chant it, then we're in Krishna's association. He says, hear Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita and remember Krishna. When we do that, we're following his instructions and we become Krishna conscious. So he's the original spiritual master, the Supersoul. All the other spiritual masters are just representatives of the Supersoul. Either Shiksha or Diksha. Guru Krishna K. Janara, Bhakti Shesta Antayami, Eduri Rupa. Krishna says, you should know that the spiritual master is my representative. And the spiritual master is both the best devotee and the super antaryami, the super soul in the heart. So there's only one spiritual master, that's Krishna, and everyone else is his representative. Any bona fide spiritual master is his representative, because he's supposed to know what Krishna wants. Therefore, when we surrender to a spiritual master, it's not just like, I surrender and then there's some ceremony and all my sinful reactions get dissipated, and then I go out with a clean slate, I do whatever I want. Now the surrender is supposed to be that I'm surrendering to the instructions so that by following the instructions, gradually I become Krishna conscious and I become aware of Krishna. That's the relationship with the spiritual master, what it's supposed to be. The surrender is supposed to be to help me hear the instructions and follow them. That's what my vow is. Not that it's simply some ritual and thereby some mystical process I become free. I become free if I understand what Krishna wants me to do from his representative and then I do it. But if the representative has to know what Krishna wants, otherwise how can he be representative? If you're a salesman for a company and you don't know what the price of your product is or what you're selling, how can you be a representative? You walk in to sell your product and they say, you know, what's your product? And you go, I don't know, I forgot. How much is it? I'm not really so sure how much it is either. What are you doing here? I don't know, maybe I walked into the wrong place. No, if we're a representative of Krishna, then we have to know what he wants. Otherwise, how can we be a representative? Yes. Well, that would help. Of course, we also have to know the philosophy. Because otherwise, we may not be chanting the holy name. If we can chant the holy name, actually, then we'd chant it constantly. But we have to know who we're chanting to also, and what we're asking for. It's not enough to, you know, constantly chant, Like you can chant to your mother constantly, I want that video game, I want that video game, and chant to her all day and night until she goes crazy and buys you the video game. So we have to know what we're chanting for also. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.